There's a microphone for everybody, including the kitten.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're going to talk about Luke Cage Season 2. We've got our Marvel Netflix binge buddy Mark Sherman back, and we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hello, I'm a co-host.
And Molly Glover.
Wagwan.
And we're joined by our Marvel binge buddy, Mark Sherman.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about Luke Cage Season 2.
Wah, wah. I got that Luke Cage, wah, y'all. Wah, wah. I got that Luke Cage right here, y'all. I got that good Luke Cage.
So, Luke obviously,
Cage.
We're going to spoil it. And we're probably also apparently going to mangle some Jamaican accents.
I mean, you don't want a fake patois throughout this whole thing, Mike.
Oh, my God.
I know my Irish accent sounds Jamaican, so I'll just try to sound Irish.
Oh, you're all an embarrassment.
Look, so, I'm the only one here who's ever run a website for booking ska bands, so I'm pretty sure that
be,
I get to
I want
to
be really clear.
My mom lived in Jamaica for a month.
I want to be really clear that there are white people that live in Jamaica, and those are whose accents we're impersonating.
Yes, oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah. Racist white Jamaican.
Yeah, yes. Great. Good job, son of the governor.
A lot of mercy.
So we're going to spoil the shit out of Luke Cage. If you haven't seen it.
Season 2.
If you haven't seen it yet and you don't want it to be spoiled for you, go binge it and come back to this episode. If you've seen it or you don't care, listen on. So since Luke Cage Season 1, we got the Defenders.
Mm-hmm. Iron Fist was in there too.
Misty lost an arm.
Mm-hmm.
She's a character that was introduced in Luke Cage Season 1.
She gets a dope-ass robot arm.
Yeah, she does.
She does this season get the dope-ass robot arm from...
She gets a bunch of spandex with some plastic plates on top of it, but, you know.
Effectively, it is robot arm.
Effectively, it's a dope-ass robot arm.
It is.
No matter what they built
it's
it out of.
It's a robot arm.
We only get... I'm trying to think of other characters we get in this, but other than... You know, we'll get to Bushmaster.
Black Mariah. We get to see legitimately Black Mariah as opposed to Mariah Stokes.
We get Tilda.
Mariah Dillard.
Yeah. Stokes, actually. It's yeah. Stokes.
No, I know. Yeah. Eventually.
But we do get Tilda. I mean, that's a new character.
Oh, yeah. Tilda, yeah. Mariah's daughter. She's great.
And Turk came back, which is important. We should have at least one visit by Turk every season of this mm-hmm. show.
We absolutely should. We only get a couple episodes with Colleen Wing.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I suppose she was in a couple at the beginning, wasn't she?
She was in that great bar fight with Misty.
Yeah, that was
where she's like training her and doing her PT to.
How has
get
it
her
been
to...
like six seasons of this show, and that's like one of the first proper bar fights we've had? We've had fights in restaurants, but I can't think of another bar fight that we've had.
It was a good fight too. You felt very justified in them kicking those dudes' asses.
I don't think you understand how expensive pool cues are as props.
Yeah.
So
you can't just make them out of wood.
So
pool cuery.
So New York has been saved.
Yeah.
Luke Cage is in Harlem.
There's fallout from all, and there's some vague mentions of like the Sokovia stuff and like
a little bit,
like a little bit here and there. Luke is your buddy Captain America's a criminal. You know,
Luke is redeemed. He's not in prison. He's a free man. He's able to just do his own thing mm-hmm. and live his life as Harlem's protector until Bushmaster shows up, more or less.
Yeah,
which happens pretty quick.
It does. He's introduced in the very first episode.
Does Luke Cage find the people selling drugs with his name on him before the Bushmaster stuff? He finds that.
That's like the first thing that happens in the first episode.
Is that kid is selling? Is it the same? Because who's the kid that sells the merch? Is that
no different kid?
Okay.
Different kid.
Yeah. The kid who sells his merch is featured more prominently in this season, and I liked it a lot.
His buddy, sidekick.
But so he finds that that there's people selling drugs, heroin.
Yep.
That they're calling Luke mm-hmm. Cage. And
they're branding it.
It does not make him happy.
No.
Nope.
It does not.
And he does destroy a bunch of distribution centers or whatever. In that Luke Cage bulletproof, you can't shoot me, you can't blow me up, you can't burn me way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big themes of this season is selling out.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
How do you live with dignity and keep your cred without but while also, like, everyone has all these huge expectations for Luke Cage, that he's going to do what the police can't, that he's going to save Harlem, that he's going to protect everyone. And yet, at the same time, like, no one gives him a pass. No one, like, has his back. Like, the second he screws up, everyone's there to be like...
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, and the few people in there are telling him constantly that he should be cashing in on this. And then as soon as he does, they're criticizing him for doing so.
Right. You can't win.
Yeah.
Luke Cage can't win the whole season.
Well, and so, like, there's the shirts that they have that are mimicking, like, hip-hop albums and other things that are pretty great that kid is making to sell.
I like the Power Man one at the end with the gold chain around the edge.
Yeah.
That was finally nice to see that.
They did a Luke Cage one that looked like the Straight Outta Compton, the I can't remember, NWA? Is that... They did Luke Cage, the black and the white.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, that
when they did the Run DMC logo.
Yeah,
and a few other
that's,
ones
I remember that one.
Yeah,
So Bushmaster is here to take back the Jamaican gang, the Yardies, their turf in New York.
Who seem like they've been out of... Like, all the cops are like, oh, the Yardies are nothing anymore.
They're like I got the impression they're an older gang that's fallen out of...
It sounded like they were, I mean, from what I gathered from what they were saying, they were prominent in the 70s when they were carving up areas and they got a section of Manhattan outside of Harlem, but adjacent to it.
Yeah.
And Bushmaster, it was when they'd fallen out of power and changed their name after, I think, Bushmaster's father got killed and his family fled back to Jamaica.
Yeah.
That's...
I think that's right. Yeah.
Because that's where the flashbacks are, is we see Bushmaster at like maybe 12 or 13, and he is kind of a servant.
Yeah, working
as
like a tall boy.
Yeah, working as the definitely in like the serving class of this, like, you know, a Jamaican estate
resort
where the Stokes...
He's at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah. He's the man at the bottom of the hill, looking at the man on top.
Yeah.
There's some really great, like, allegory story kind of things like that in this.
So, other than the fact that he's a murdering crime lord or aspiring crime lord, Bushmaster's really sympathetic and compelling. Like if he had gone about his task in of revenge in a different way, he would be a vigilante superhero.
Sure.
Hmm.
The show this season did an awful lot to either rehabilitate or change my opinions about a variety of characters.
Yeah.
In particular, and I'm just going to say this right now so we can all shame me later, Shades is my new favorite character on this show.
Holy shit.
Shades was great.
Okay, good. We're all on the same page then.
The loss of the love of his life.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, and oldest friend. Like, they added so much depth to a lot of characters.
Yep.
But Shades was, even when he ended up, like, going down at the end because they couldn't arrest Mariah to fulfill his deal, like...
They couldn't prosecute her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was amazing.
But that was great. He earned it and he knew it. Like, he deserved to get taken in and go to prison. He fucking knew it. And you could see it on his face. But the relationship between him and I wish I could remember his
Comanche.
The relationship between him and Comanche was so good. And, like, it was that, because in the first season, there was a little bit of, like, you could tell they were bros, like they were real tight, and it was like, oh yeah, my boy. And you're like, all right. And then you get to learn a little more, and then like the way people shamed him for having a homosexual relationship while he was in prison, and the way it was turned into this like, well, you know, in prison you do what you got to do to get by, but it was like, no, very clearly,
it was
like,
more than that.
It was more than that. Yeah. And then seeing how much more than that it was to Comanche, like that actor did an amazing job. Every time you saw him in scenes where Mariah and Shades were all nuzzling and like being
and
like fucking,
they made that reveal.
And they were being like teenagers, you know, where they're just like all over each other and way over the top, unnecessary,
super
like
super handsy.
Yeah, and you're like, we get it. You're fucking like, everyone gets it, boss. Like, and then you just see Comanche just looking, and part of you is at first you're thinking like, oh, he's looking at him because he's like, oh, you're giving up your life to this old lady. But then you realize later it's not that. It's
jealousy. Why maybe more than
envy?
Jealousy. Yeah,
like a deep envy and a sadness and a longing. Like,
but also
yeah.
like it seemed also like he genuinely cared and worried about yeah. someone that he loved, and he was worried about how Mariah was going to use
yeah,
shades.
Yeah, because he wasn't blinded. He wasn't pussy blind. What was it he said? There's a line he said that was so amazing. It was like that pussy must... I'm not going to remember. It was something yeah. amazing, though. Yeah. Like that pussy must, like, sing afterward or something. Yeah. Like, something that was, like that. It was yeah. just, like, what has you so, like, fucking bewitched? Like, yeah. why, man? Why are you... What is it? I don't get it.
And he did explain that later on. Like, when he saw her finally taking care of business and stepping up, he saw something in her that he never quite saw in Cornell, in Cottonmouth.
Right.
Yeah.
But, of course, that turned into something much darker. But, like, everything between their relationship was just so interesting and more nuanced. The way that Comanche was clearly more willing to embrace in a lot of ways who he was mm-hmm. and Shades was not, and yeah. that whole like yeah. false bravado and machismo yeah. that was going on there. It was really handled surprisingly delicately for a show primarily about like drug dealers beating each other up.
Yeah, and masculine dudes being yeah. dudes.
It
yeah.
fit with Shades too. I mean, he wears sunglasses around. Clearly he has like a wall between him and who he really mm-hmm. is and the rest of the world to some extent. Like, yeah, he's a murdering criminal, but they added a lot of layers. I felt like they added a lot of layers to Mariah too.
Yep.
Because there were a few points during the series where Molly and I were like, oh shit, like Mariah's not so bad maybe. And mm-hmm. then later they lift up your esteem of her just so that you can see her truly descend into being fucking
evil. No, she is just
her
that
story,
fucking bad, yeah.
Her story of like, and then, you know, I fell in love with your daddy and I loved him and then he died and I raised you on my own and it was just you and me and I love you, baby girl, and like, please, like, I need you by my side. Like, I've, you know, I don't want drugs. I'm so strong and all these things, and like, you start to be like, yeah, yeah, okay. Like, well, she's just a woman who's had a rough go having to make it as a woman in this world and a black woman to boot, like...
But then it's like, but no, then she's a shitty mother. But then it's, she's not a shitty mother. She just couldn't feel love for her daughter,
because
who
was
a product
of rape,
of
incestual rape.
And,
like, yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, wait, no.
How hard that must have been to see his face on your face.
Yeah.
And then it's
yeah.
like, she, and then she's just like, oh, she's just so
full
awful.
On fucking evil.
Just,
yeah.
I never loved you and I never will. You're like, Jesus.
It's
like,
and the corrupting influence on Tilda from her
yeah.
as well. You know, that scene in like the second to last episode where she's playing the piano and I think she says like a Stokes twice over.
Yeah.
yeah.
Was really, you
all
know,
this time
affecting,
she's, all
you
this
know?
Time she, the, Tilda's been telling herself that she's half Stokes, but she's Dillard. She's got her, she can be like her dad. She can, mm-hmm. she can be a Dillard. She can, you know, rise above and she can be this good person who died for a good reason or whatever. And then it's like, nope, double Stokes. Not only that, but
yeah.
like two of the worst ones, like
yeah.
two
yeah.
of the worst of your family. Not even one of the ones that got press ganged into being bad, but like just an all, like two all downright fucking evil human beings. Yeah.
Well, and then Mariah talks a lot about, well, sure, you know, her, was it her mother or her grandmother? Sure, she was a criminal, but like she did so much good for Harlem and
mm-hmm.
she protected mm-hmm. Harlem and
she loves Harlem.
She loves
yep.
Harlem.
Yep.
And then you get the flashback to Bushmaster's childhood where she's like murdering his parents and fucking burning down his
while he
house.
Watches and
yep.
just like says
yeah.
like, oh, looks like your mama's getting hot in there. And like
yeah.
just like walks away from like a 10 through like 12 year old boy watching his whole world.
His mom
his
pushes
fucking,
him out the window so that
oh,
he can
yeah.
live. Like it's
yep.
it's fucked. Like the Stokes are evil,
I,
like
I
top honest, to bottom.
I honestly think Bushmaster is a much like a Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Sure.
I think Bushmaster is a very understandable, relatable villain when you get to know more about it, and you're like, oh, like all he wants to do is wipe the Stokes off the earth.
Yeah, it's, and, right. and Luke Cage is in his way.
Exactly.
It's not like he hates Luke Cage. He's just like, you got to get out of my way.
All I want to do is kill Mariah Stokes.
If you won't get out of my way and let me kill Mariah Stokes, then I will beat the shit out of you.
Yeah. And he says that multiple times. He's just like, I don't get Luke Cage. You clearly hate her. Mm-hmm. You clearly want to stop her. All you need to do is just walk away. Turn around. Don't look.
I'll kill her.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Because Luke has a moral code.
Yep. Does
he? And like all of his drugs and all that stuff was all just like a way to get to her, a way to fuck with her, a way to you don't think so?
I don't know. I think some of it might be like reclaiming what's his, but only because is he reclaiming what's his because that's important, or is he only reclaiming what's his because it was taken by the Stokes?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say. I mean, because I think they'd mentioned that he had climbed up through the ranks of the Jamaican criminality before he came back to New York.
That's a good point. Okay.
He's clearly willing to get his hands dirtier than you would think that somebody with wholly respectable motives.
Yeah, he doesn't have respectable motives in this. I mean, I don't think the Vulture did either, because the thing is, he talks about how he has to take care of his family, but, you know, then he lives in that, like, multi-million-dollar house.
Right.
So, like, how much are you taking care of your family, and how much are you, like, I mean...
Taking care of your family.
Right. Yeah. So, I think it's just one of those things where, like, when you get to the why, it's like, you can kind of be like, oh, no, man, like, I can kind of see that. If my mom was burned alive in my only home in front of me like that, and the woman who did it not only did it flagrantly in front of me, but made a joke about it and walked away knowing she was that untouchable.
Yeah.
Like, I could see that being a thing that would get me.
And Mariah and Cottonmouth were there when it happened.
Yep.
So, like, he can't imagine that they weren't in on it or knew about it, even though they were kids. Like, they're complicit in a way.
Well, it almost seems like certainly Mariah has no idea who this guy is until he finally introduces him to her, and even then it seems like she needed some prodding. Now, how much of that was her just fucking with him?
When Shade says his name is Bushmaster, she like is like, oh, well,
yeah,
she's got that look on her face like, oh,
like
fuck.
She saw a ghost.
And then the first time that he comes in, they have a highly coded conversation.
Sure.
Yeah.
That indicates they both know who the other one is. I mean, she's the one that serves him the Bushmaster rum.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked all the coffee references. Like every time someone offers coffee or asks for coffee or you go get coffee or it's like, I don't need coffee right
now.
Little
old lady is being Luke Cage, want to go get some coffee?
Yeah, yeah. Just like, oh, let me guess, you and he had coffee. And it was very funny. I liked that bit.
There's even one part where he's like, we got coffee. No, like coffee.
Coffee.
We got coffee. Yeah. The guy that plays Bushmaster, Mustafa Shakir, was a great actor.
He was very engaging.
The action and the martial arts, like the capoeira kind of like flipping around.
Oh,
shit,
man, when
was super beautiful to watch.
He just kicks Luke in the fucking face.
I know.
And he just goes down. And it's like, it made me think of like, yeah, like it's like a boxer. Yeah, like a boxer going up against a capoeira guy, and you're just like, what are you doing, flips and shit? Like, I can't. Mm-hmm.
And then he gets kicked in the face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
great. You brought feet to a boxing match. What the hell?
Yeah.
I liked Misty's arc of having to figure out how to deal with her arm, and when she doesn't have the robot arm yet, and she comes back to work, and she takes off her coat, and she's like, "All right, everyone, get a good look."
Yeah.
Like, here it is. Here it is. I lost my arm. Like, we done? And it's just, she's got such a... They did a good job of her having a major thing happen that she had to move on and live through without going into the really tired old tropes of her being like, I can't do anything, and she's depressed, and someone's got to talk her out of it, and then we could get a montage of her slowly finding her. You know, instead, it was just like, no, I'm fine, fuck off, and people are like, you're not fine, and that's okay.
We got to see her dealing with it and going through it and doing the work.
Yeah. Working towards a solution.
And then they gave her the robot arm.
Mm-hmm.
They could have just started this season with her with a robot arm that she got from Danny or you know, even really early off. But I feel like it's a credit to the writers that they showed that there were consequences. And the consequences aren't always like blown up buildings or like dead ninjas. Like the consequences are very human, and that suffering is very human.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of human, they managed to like kind of humanize and make not in terribly awesome or awful Danny.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to Iron Fist season two because I'm really hoping that they're going to learn from a lot of the what I consider to be the mistakes. There is a fight happening in my office right now because two of the people in my office are now claiming that Iron Fist is their favorite out of all of the Marvel shows. Ever. That's exactly what I said.
They can't have actually watched.
Oh no, they have. They've watched all of them, and they say it with gleeful troll faces. So you know that they're I think, but generally. Like, yeah, Dane genuinely says Iron Fist is his favorite. And I'm like, I guess you like slow motion fighting and repetitive, like, you can do it, Danny, the voice of my master, like scenes.
You have to say the whole thing. You can't just say Danny Rand.
Oh, Danny Rand, the Iron Fist?
The immortal Iron Fist, champion of Kunlun.
Oh, excuse me. You mean Kunlun?
Kunlun.
I got this fist from fighting a dragon and winning. I don't know if you've heard of that before.
My parents died.
The dragon?
Still real fucked up about it.
But
I'm surprised he didn't find a way to tell Misty that he was fucked up because his parents died when he gave her the arm.
I felt like Iron Fist and Power Man, their friendship is so great in the comics. Their bond is really good. They make a good team, and by making Danny Rand shitty, we were losing out on a really good part of Luke Cage too. Yep. And I feel like this was a big step to getting that back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's clear that they're positioning Danny to be Luke's savior at some point in Luke Cage season 3.
I don't know. Luke is set up to have a pretty major fall.
He's effectively the crime kingpin. He's the kingpin of Harlem.
They need a king. Harlem needs a king. And like that's what I like about that is there's a Daredevil story in the comics I really love.
Shadowlands.
It's when Daredevil becomes the leader of the Hand, and
think of all the good you could do if you were in control of the Hand.
If he was in control,
he wouldn't do terrible things.
It's very much a Dr. Horrible
for goodwill,
like a total Dr. Horrible thing, like anarchy that I rule. You know, it's I'll be in charge and everything will be better because I'll be the one making the calls, and it's from a heroic point of view. And I feel like that's totally where Luke Cage. They may not that storyline exactly, but that kind of motif of the good guy with the superpowers who decides that, you know, well, what if I was just in charge of all this stuff? And what if I just...
But if I had the One Ring, I could defeat all the orcs.
Exactly.
I could do it.
Exactly.
Like, I wouldn't turn
bad.
But
in this case, the One Ring is a bar.
Yeah.
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 If I had a really great view.
If I had the One
and
Bar.
Good music, Booker.
Right.
Just excellent Booker.
Yeah. They got
KRS-One.
KRS-One in an episode.
I was so happy. KRS-One. It was awesome.
That was great.
We heard him. We heard his voice, and we were both like, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I dug that.
There's so much great music in this season in general. Steve Marley was nice to get up on there, too. It's amazing how much he sounds like his dad these days.
The costuming was great. The lighting. Of the scenes, which sometimes Marvel shows skew a little like dark and are kind of hard to see. And this one, I felt like, unless they were, you know, outside fighting at night, there was still a lot of good, like really good, like the stuff inside the club, which the name I can't think of suddenly.
Harlem's Paradise.
Inside of the Paradise was like bright and lush and felt very like, you know, the Basquiat.
Yeah.
Like they kept saying, all you have to do is sell that fucking painting and none of this would have happened.
It was such a good...
It really was.
Like, it's like the fucking Dorian Gray for her, like not selling that painting was...
It's just such hubris too. And I think that like the bright colors were always, whenever there was bright colors going on, it felt like someone was like in the Jamaican scenes or in the, you know, the club. Like it was just really like being about how like a flamboyance and a pride and a hubris that comes with that you know ended up meaning someone was going to have a downfall.
I read something interesting about I think this might have been actually for Luke Cage season 1, but it applies for season 2. Talking about the inherent kind of there's like a subtle racism in TV and movie lighting. It's mostly most of the rules or what are commonly regarded as the rules for lighting actors are inherently designed to make white people look good because that's the majority of the actors and stuff that they're casting. When you are doing like a flattering dramatic lighting for people of color, you use different types of lighting, different colored lighting. Mm-hmm. And that's when why you get like lots of like oranges and purples and things like that that aren't typically used in lighting.
Blues and yellows.
Right. And that's something that is done with care in Luke Cage.
Yep.
And I think it makes the show look better. It makes the actors look better. It makes the story more noir. Mm-hmm. Kind of like it really, I don't know. I well, love what of, it added.
There's so much visual storytelling going on with the camera and the lighting and the shadows.
Yeah.
It's all very purposeful and very, very meaningful in a lot of ways.
I felt like this one, this was better paced than any of the other ones before.
Yeah.
No, any of the other Marvel shows before, but at the same time, I still think it probably could just be 8 episodes. I wish they were just 8 episodes or 10 episodes tops. I think that
thirteen
is long, and it just there were always episodes where there were at least 2 episodes of filler where it's like they're fighting again.
I feel like sometimes there was filler within episodes. There were a lot of, you know, like montages to music, and the music was really good, but often it was like it would be an entire song to tell you something that you knew within the first couple of stanzas of the song, you know. And if you just
club scenes,
if you did a little less of that, you could cut out an episode or two and tell basically the same story with the same story beats, you know. And it's atmosphere, and it was creating a feeling and a mood and a pace to everything that was going on, and I understand that that's what they were doing, and it was absolutely purposeful. But I would agree that it could have been it didn't have to be 13 episodes long, but it still felt
better.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely felt better. I was compelled the whole time. I didn't fall asleep during a single episode, which I think is a record for me.
Yeah.
Because usually we have to turn off all the lights to watch these. And because of because it's so dark and our living room requires you to have the lights off to be able to see the TV well. And usually if we turn off all the lights, a cat gets in my lap and then I fall asleep. So that's just the way it goes.
Often we'll get like 3/4 of a way through an episode and I will finish the episode and Molly will watch it like the next morning.
Yeah, that didn't happen this time because they were all so damn compelling and good.
The pacing was really the best. Like Mark said, it didn't have that slump that somewhere between episodes 7 and 10 that seems to happen with everything else.
Well, and they didn't give us a switcheroo villain, which is amazing.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite parts of it. We kept with the same storyline the whole way through, and it's not like, haha, I've pulled off my mask and I am the true mastermind behind this story.
Now it's Diamondback.
Yeah.
The villain you loved that's been here the whole time is gone.
Yeah.
New guy.
Yeah. What? Yeah. No.
Also brother.
Instead, they gave you a great villain that was there from the beginning. Yeah. They gave you 2 great villains that were there from the very beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose Shades 3 is kind of 3.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So,
I was going with Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, to some extent.
Yeah.
So talking about going forward from here, next is Iron Fist Season 2, which we get in like a month or two.
So soon?
I think it's in August.
Guys, we're going to need more questions.
And then Daredevil season 3 is what's after that. I think. Hang on, I'm gonna Google it real quick.
Pretty sure Jessica Jones is what's next.
I don't know about that.
Season 2 was pretty recent.
Yeah, season 2 is just.
Oh
like,
yeah, no,
was,
you're right. You're
it was
right.
Just the last one
I'm
we
wrong.
Talked about,
I'm wrong.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Iron Fist is September 7th.
Okay.
Right. So just at the end of just after August, and then it's Daredevil. And then I think we're getting more Punisher is the plan.
I've heard a rumor of more Punisher.
But I haven't seen anything about Iron Fist except for they've shown some like flashbacks to Kun Lun, they say.
They put out a bunch of stuff just a couple of weeks ago at Comic-Con. Yeah. And honestly, like the little bit of footage that I saw looked great. But the people that actually saw more of it say it's a marked improvement.
It would not be difficult.
It would not be difficult.
Well, new writer, new director.
Yeah, new choreographer.
That's important.
Basically, it would if anybody watched the first series and was like, this needs to be better, which, I mean, you know, theoretically somebody could fail at that.
Apparently, but, they work in my office.
But if somebody could successfully watch that first series and go, this needs to be better, it feels like it would take very little to actually make it better.
Yeah.
Like an actual fight choreography would be just one very simple step to make it better.
Well, you know, honestly, the fight choreography in the first series was fine, but the way it was filmed and the way it was edited did not make it look dynamic enough to engage anyone. The camera was so far away and it was so slow. And I get it. These are guys doing majestic flips and kicks and shit like that. But you know what? Make it a little tighter and we won't notice that there are a bunch of fucking actors who are going at 2 miles an hour.
Also, for me, honestly, like the biggest problem I have with the fight scenes, which I've said before, is just that it was very formulaic. It was guys are fighting. Oh, wow. This villain is a lot stronger than I anticipated. Oh, shit. This villain just knocked Danny Rand to the ground. Danny Rand hears the voice of his master, which fills him with the renewed power and energy, and he fights back harder, and now he has the victory.
Well, it's very much
every fucking time.
Worf syndrome, you know? Like, you need to show that someone is a danger, so you have them punch Worf and go, oh no, he's too strong for our Klingon.
Yeah.
Even though apparently everybody's too strong for your Klingon.
Yeah.
So it is Iron Fist. Oh, sorry. You want to?
No, I was just going to say. But anyway, Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So it's Iron Fist next, Daredevil early 2019.
Yep.
Punisher season 2 mid to late 2019.
Nice.
Jessica Jones season 3 end of 2019 or early 2020.
Well, awesome.
And then Luke Cage season 3 is confirmed.
At what point are they pulling all these off of Netflix and forcing us to buy a Disney subscription?
Sometime after the merger.
But...
Ooh.
So is Luke going to go full villain?
I think he has to, right?
Or has he already?
For half a season. I mean, he may have.
I don't think he has yet. I think that he still has a good heart and a good thoughts and good reasons for what he's going to do. But I think that it's going to, ultimate power corrupts absolutely. And I think that's what we're going to see at least like you said, like the first half, maybe the first third of season 3.
Yeah, there's going to have to be a point where Luke realizes that he's gone over to the dark side and needs to figure out how to cross back.
Punisher season 2, taking down Kingpin Luke Cage.
Yeah.
We know season 3 of Daredevil is the return of the Kingpin.
Oh,
so
I'm
maybe
so
there'll be something to do with that too.
Yeah, could be.
They've saying that Daredevil season 3 will be a return to more like Daredevil season 1.
Nice.
Yeah. Good. Which is great. So, 5 questions.
So the problem is we have asked Mark our 5 questions and he's asked us 5 questions and we've all asked each other 5 questions and honestly
it's just on and on.
I think we should probably just do a listener's 5 questions if that's okay with you guys.
Less work for me.
All right. So we have 5 answers from He Smells, Sea Swells by the Seahorse.
I feel like that might be a fake name.
I think it might be, or at least not maybe his birth name.
Oh, it's not a given.
Like maybe changed it when he or she or they got married.
Yeah. I'm going to say he.
Okay.
Or maybe they. I guess I don't know one way or the other. We'll say they for now, but we'll get there and you'll see why.
All right. Mark, do you want to ask the first one?
Sure. So the question is, what conspiracy theory do you find most interesting / compelling? There are a few ways...
The aquatic ape theory. The idea that our ancestors spent so much time in the water, going through an almost fully aquatic stage, that it explains our differences from other apes. Aquatic ape theory doesn't have a lot of conspiracy to it, but it has the kick in the pants that matters. It sounds really reasonable until you look closer. It really feels good to have this one idea that solves a whole bunch of problems until you notice that most of those problems were already solved. It lets you feel like you know something that others don't, and it's still fun after you learn it is wrong.
I've never heard of the aquatic ape theory.
I have. It's silly.
Have you?
I have.
Yeah?
It's why we have hair on top of our heads, because the rest of us was under the water.
Don't apes have hair on their heads?
It's also why our eyes are better adapted for the ocean than they are for seeing on land.
What? Right. I can't see shit in the ocean. What? It's not, can you guys see in the ocean?
It's not true. Our eyes don't work well under pressure. Question 2.
What on earth?
Question number 2. What is your perfect 2-week vacation? Money is no object. Physics, of course, is a limiting factor.
2 weeks in bed with someone warm.
Oh.
All right.
Sounds nice. That sounds nice.
Non-specific.
Yeah.
question number three, what's a book or movie that changed your life? How and why?
Lynn Flewelling's Stalking Darkness. It's a fantasy adventure, the second in a series, and the relationships between the various characters are some of the best writing I've ever found. It was one of a stack of books I took out from the library for my sixth week of working at Bible camp one summer. I expected the whole stack to take half the week, and I had a crazy reading rate back then, and there's only so many times I could reread the Old Testament. I also had a bit more free time than everyone else at camp for a few weeks. I picked Stalking Darkness to read second, and I never opened the remainder of the stack. The next week was the first week in more than a decade that I wasn't suicidal. A big part of the story is one of the guys realizing he's falling in love with one of the other guys, and their friends being there as he deals with it. A couple of months before I read it, I was at Bible college, one of the hyper-conservative ones that you hear stories about, and after a series of crises that I came to comprehend, I came to comprehend that I would always be gay. And while I had always assumed that I was going to kill myself eventually, then it became a plan. I was going to save enough to pay off my student debt and then disappear, which was very close to how Stalking Darkness almost ends. But it doesn't end that way, and it convinced me that it was okay to put that plan on hold.
Dang.
That's awesome.
That's a good answer. That literally changed
your life, man. That's great.
And you're right. It is probably a guy.
I'm guessing. Or are they?
He or they is a really good bet. Yeah.
Question number four, Mark.
What is the geekiest thing you have ever done or said?
I made my friends play a homebrew RPG I made. All they really had to do was find three goats in a village. Side note, please send me this RPG. All right. But all of us ended up dead. But all of us ended up dead from the gigantic monster we'd summoned through bad decision making, except the one guy who rolled horribly all game and then got a 20 on the turn after the rest of us died. He was trying something stupid when he rolled, so the monster died laughing at him.
Right on.
Soul survivor.
Saving goats.
That guy had got three goats and all the survivor's guilt.
All right.
Natural 20s.
Tim, you want to take it home?
Question number five. What is your favorite hangover cure?
Root beer out of a go-go dancer's navel.
All right.
I'm going to try that sometime.
That's super specific.
Love you all.
That's like witch's brew type shit. Like, you need the red hair of a seventh son of a seventh son.
I also feel it's important for you to know that it's he smells, sea swells, and then buy, as in purchase, the seahorse.
Right.
Good.
Very important for you to know. It is. It's homophones, and I want to make sure the radio gets them right.
Sure.
Thank you so much
for your answers.
If you want to send in your answers, you can send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. That's word 5 or number 5. It doesn't matter.
We're almost out, aren't we?
We have just 2 left.
Just two left.
Great. And if you are a supporter on Patreon, we bump you to the top of that very short list. But in addition to that, you can get episodes early if you throw us a couple bucks a month. So, you know, there's those privileges as well. What are you looking forward to in the next Marvel Netflix stuff? Do you have any strong opinions about Luke Cage season 2, or where do you think villainous Luke is going to go? Were there any Easter eggs or anything you saw this season and you want to talk about them or we didn't? You can leave a comment on geekswithoutgod.com or at Facebook. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. Otherwise, we'll have Mark back for Daredevil season 3.
Iron Fist season two.
Yeah, probably.
It depends.
Yeah, I think it depends.
If it's any good, and then we'll combine. If not,
yeah,
right. Like last time. Awesome. All right. Otherwise, have a great week, and we'll be back next Tuesday with more. Bye.
Bye.
Next Tuesday with more. Right near the beach. Bye. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God. Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God. Sorry, Jeff, this is after, so it doesn't count.